This is your classical break, a chance to take a step back and enjoy some great music in the middle of a busy day. I'm Tyler Alderson, and today we're heading up to Scotland with Mendelssohn's Third Symphony, which is also known as his Scottish Symphony. Now, I'm doing something akin to Solomon splitting the baby here, and I'm sure some people will be unhappy with it. Mendelssohn wrote this out as essentially one continuous piece. Each movement was supposed to flow into the next without much of a break. However, the symphony's 40 minutes long. I've split things up before, and so apologies to Mendelssohn. I'm going to do it again here. Today we'll listen to the first movement, tomorrow the second and third movements, and Friday we'll finish up with the finale. If you have time on Friday or over the weekend, go ahead, listen to the whole thing start to finish. It's definitely worth it. When Mendelssohn was 20, he did what a lot of young gentlemen his age did back in the 19th century, and he took a grand tour of Europe. This was seen as a big step in a young man's development, chance to learn about different cultures, visit important historical sites. For Mendelssohn, it was also a chance to find some new inspiration. He had been a child prodigy, so at this point, he was already pretty well known in musical circles, and he ended up conducting and playing in many of the cities he visited. After conducting a few concerts in London, Mendelssohn decided to head north and check out Scotland. He was captivated in particular by the story of Mary, Queen of Scots, and he visited Holyrood Palace, where she lived for many years. When he got to the palace chapel, where Mary had been crowned Queen of Scotland, he noted that, quote, "Everything is ruined, decayed, and the bright sky shines in. I think I have found the beginning of my Scottish symphony." He wrote that in a letter to his sister, and he included the first few bars of the opening theme to the symphony. And it really does sound like the opening to a tragic movie, dark and wistful. You can see the ruins and the obvious metaphor between them and Mary's life. Now, when you hear it, listen for the violins. And I'll give you a hint, they aren't playing for the opening lines. It's just their lower cousins, the viola, along with the woodwinds, which gives the melody a very dark texture. Now, even though this is called his Scottish Symphony, that theme was actually the only thing that we know for sure was inspired by Scotland. He ended up putting it away for a long time, and he only finished it in 1842, which was 13 years after he first visited Scotland. He didn't even really use the name Scottish Symphony himself once it was done, but it's kind of hard not to hear the gray, stormy Scottish weather, the stark moors of the Highlands, the story of Mary, Queen of Scots, all that imagery wrapped up in the music once you have that idea planted in your mind. And remember when I said that he meant this to be played through without breaks between the movements? Well, you can hear that at the end. There isn't much of an ending to this one at all, certainly not the big ending that you might expect. There's a little reprise of that opening theme, but it dies out quickly with a little bit of pizzicato. Remember, it's plucking the strings rather than bowing them, so it's very soft. Here's the Muse Open Symphony with the first movement of Mendelssohn's Scottish Symphony.
Thank you.
first movement of Mendelssohn's Scottish Symphony, it just sort of fades away into the gloom. But don't worry, the second movement gets a lot cheerier. Thanks to the Muse Open Symphony and museopen.org for the music. I'm Tyler Alderson, and tomorrow for your classical break, we'll be picking up right where we left off with the middle of Mendelssohn's Scottish Symphony, the second and third movements. See you then.